Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from Whitewall, Wisconsin. We're believing the Lord that He is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is a straight gate, and narrow is the way, and broad is the way for that lead us to destruction. So we welcome you. This time with the Lord, we want to take time out tonight and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And saying for the church, and listen very carefully to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. It is time now that as we come to this place in history, in church history especially, that we do hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and that we do listen very carefully for what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. You know, as I look back, we're walking through the book of Matthew, starting with chapter 1, verse 1. We have come all the way through to chapter 7. Hopefully we'll finish chapter 7 tonight. But I think this word is so appropriate for tonight, so appropriate for this time. And as we look into the word and open up the word of God, we will see that it's almost like we're reading today's paper. And it's almost like we might just want to read the headlines and kind of browse through the front of the paper and see what is being written in the paper today, and maybe think that we understand the story that is on the headline of the paper. And so we kind of overlook maybe the depths of a story that's buried on page 2 or page 3 or page 4. So we're going to talk about that tonight, because it's almost what is happening as we walk through the book of Matthew. And it's interesting that the Lord gave us that tonight to talk about, looking behind page 1. And even when we see on page 1 the headline to a story, that we turn, read the story, and we read beyond the headline, and we see what's there. And so we're going to turn and to Prophet Dean Mitchum tonight, and we're going to allow him to come and open up the airwaves for us in our hearts and in our minds of a new church arising. We want that church to arise in us. We want it to arise in you, and so that's why we're here, coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn, peeping into the Word of God and then opening it up and then looking behind the headlines to see what is behind the headlines and what is it saying to us, the things that we need to know. And so we will let our prophet open the airwaves with the new church arise.
Hallelujah.
church. Are you a part of that church? The saints movement. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The Lord is raising up a brand new breed who will walk and talk like Abraham.
We thank you so much, Prophet Dean Mitchum from Christian International, a great man of God. We love him, and we believe God is doing great things with his prophetic words coming through as music and on his instrument. So we thank him that he opened the airwaves for us, reminding us that God is raising up a new church, and it's a brand new breed who will walk and talk like Abraham's seed. And I really believe that is what the Lord is saying. You know, as I came into the studio tonight, I just want to have a little word that a reminder of what God said to me many years ago, I worked in newspaper and advertising, and of course I was on my own newspaper, my own magazine. But I wanted to mention, when I said that, it came to me, if we read our Bible, we begin to see how God put it together for us to know what is the lead story and what is it we want to know from this and what is behind the headlines. I remember working one newspaper, and we used to wait until midnight. This was a biweekly, and we would wait and see what is going to happen so that we'll have a lead story that everyone is going to hear. And you're concerned not only about the lead story, you're concerned about where you're going to place it, and it's going to be on your front page, and then the headline must have either a banner. The banner then tells us what you're looking for, and the banner must be large enough so that people can see from it. It was an interesting life. I really enjoyed working in journalism and hearing, but it's almost like I sense the same thing happens when it comes to God. You want to know what is happening. We think about the prophetic. What is happening at this time that impact the movement of God? What's happening in the world? What's happening in the spiritual realm? And we need to open our eyes to see that. I was thinking I lived and breathed at that time newspapers and how it was put together and headlines. And I remember serving a short stint as a woman's editor, and so I had to be very careful that that section of the paper had certain stories that would interest the people. I had to lay it out just right so that they would come together, the stories would come together and keep people interested in the next part. And who the main players in this, you know, and going back to the headline for the front page, we want to always make sure that what is the most interesting thing that's coming that people want to hear and want to see. If we know that the president is coming to town, then we want to make sure that we have something very different, but we want to be truthful. And so as I looked into Matthew, I started thinking, What is the Lord wanting us to get out of Matthew? What is the lead story? And how is it put together so that it will not just be the lead story as we put we call it putting the paper to bed. That was when we had hot letter printing. That means when that paper is finished and completely laid out, it's going to print and you're not going to change anything. So what will that paper look like tomorrow morning when it hit the streets and everybody want to get a hold of our paper to know what's going on? How much like that is the Bible? How much like that is the book of Matthew? The lead story in the book of Matthew is Jesus Christ, all right? He's the one that everyone needs to know something about. And why is he such a lead story? Because he's the one that opened the way for us to come to God. And so if he's the lead story, we need to know what is in this book that he wants us to know. If we look at the way it's put together, we will see him. We will see him at birth. We'll see how he was conceived. We will see the supernatural miracles surrounding his birth. And then we will come to the place where we will see there's a place open the way for him to come by John the Baptist. And then we see him coming on the scene. And if we miss any one of these, we will miss knowing who Jesus is. We'll miss knowing why he came. We'll miss knowing what he is to us. And that's why we've been taking our time walking through the book of Matthew, because I believe the Lord wants us to know where we are now in this place that we are in the earth. What move of God is in the earth for us to follow, to enter into and move with? Because if we don't move with the move of God, then, of course, what is going to happen when God is moving in one way and we're moving another way? And then, of course, if that happens, we're moving against him. So I wanted to go back to Matthew. We're going to try to finish up chapter 7 tonight because it is the last one of the Beatitudes. And that, too, is in a very special way that we can see how God put this together for us to know the movement of God for us now. When we read the Bible today, it is where God is taking us now. If we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church now and what he's saying to us. And so I think if I look back at old newspaper days, my banner headline, and we call it a banner headline because it would go all the way across the top of the page and it had to grab attention. Our banner headline was Derek Coon coming on singing, "Behold Your God. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." Now, if you think about that, he will speak peace to his people. Now, if you think about that, it literally was like the lead headline, and the lead headline had to be in huge type. It had to be all the way across the head of the paper. Having taken a whole course in headline writing and typography, we had to have a certain type of type to make sure it would grab attention. When Derek sings, "Behold Your God," I want your heart to open up and behold. When you behold something, you look upon it, you gaze upon it, you want to see everything about it. So let's say, "Behold Jesus Christ." That's when Derek sings, "Behold Your God." And then his next word is, "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." What he's saying to us, where God is, where the move is now, you, an individual, must behold Jesus Christ. Because that's what the story is all about. That is the top story. The top story is Jesus has come. And so Derek opens up with the headline, and you see that was so important because the next morning when that paper, we always say morning because the paper came out before day every morning, and when that paper came out, people picked up that paper based on one thing that they read that big headline across, that we call it the banner. The banner said, "Wait, you better stop and get this paper today. Look at what it's saying." So Derek comes on saying, "Behold Your God." And that is, we are talking to those who know a God who's high above every God in the earth. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is God with us. So behold him. Look upon him. Gaze upon him. Learn about him. Put your attention toward him because he's your God. And then when you behold him, then let him arise in your heart. Let him arise around you where you are. Don't let your attention be drawn here and there. Let God arise in your heart. And as God arises, let your enemies be scattered. Let God arise and let your enemies be scattered. So as we look in Matthew, we saw Jesus, we saw the way being open for Jesus to come. John the Baptist opened the headline with, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he wrote, the story comes right under it. And then, of course, Jesus himself comes on the scene. And then after we see him on the scene, then we began to read the stories. And they were probably front page stories, I would say. We chose which story go on the front page. And sometimes important stories were buried on the third page. Those were stories we didn't think as important. And we didn't think that people would be as interested in those stories, but at the same time, they were good stories, and sometimes we missed it because that one story should have been on the front page, but it could have ended up on page 3. And there's always a story behind the big story. And, of course, some of us that were reporters at the time, we would want to go and find out what's behind this major thing. So we would go to families and go into homes and interview people. And really and truly, I didn't have that much of a job to do as some of the others because my job varied except when I that short stint when I was a woman's editor. But the God is saying to the church and for the church, listen, saints, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered, because the enemy will divert you and distract you from what the Lord is taking you. And he will speak peace to you. That means he will call you back on his side, and you will stop doing this, that, and everything that you think you ought to do. But let him arise and let him come to you, and let then the whatever he means to you when he arises, then guess what? The enemies will be scattered, and then he'll speak peace to you. And then, if I were to look at it like I looked at my days of reporting for journalism, the next thing that happened, we hear Dean Mitchum singing, New Church Arising. So first of all, God has to rise in our heart. We have to behold him. We have to look upon Jesus. We look upon him when we see him coming in the earth, and we see him going to John the Baptist, and we see John the Baptist baptizing him. And I beheld this part of him that I had not really beheld as closely as I should have, that when he went to John in chapter 3, verse 15, and Jesus answered unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What are you beholding now? You're beholding Jesus as who he is, and as I behold him and let him arise in my heart, it means that I'm going to follow, to make sure that I obey and to see what is he saying. As he said that, it taught me, and I hope it taught you, that Jesus came from the portals of heaven, had all power in his hand, knew everything he needed to do. He was there when God created the earth, but he could not step into the fulfillment of what he came to do until he went to someone much lower than him in status, but someone God had used to open the way for him to come. So he had to fulfill the righteousness, that is to get in right standing with God. He had to surrender and submit to the one in the earth that God had sent forth ahead of him to open the way for him to come. It's a tremendous revelation when you behold God, how he operated, because so many people got great calls on their lives, but they've never submitted anywhere to anyone long enough. And sometimes God calls you to submit to people who are far different from you, who have far less, you think, to offer than you have. But first, it's more important for you to rise above them, to teach them yourself what you have, than to sit under someone until they have fulfilled the purposes that God has given you. As Jesus said, that we will fulfill all righteousness. So that's what the word of Matthew is saying, as you behold your God. I still say he's like boots on the ground, so behold him. What does he say? He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what we're saying as we behold God, that what he tells us, we must obey that, because he represents the move of God in the earth. He is God moving through the earth. And as we read it today, we read what he calls us to do today. What are we reading? Follow me. Now, behold my God. He says, look upon me. Look into your word and see where I am going and hear what I'm saying. Because to behold something, you want to see everything about it. So you just don't want to hear generalities. You want to watch the specifics. And so behold your God. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Not follow the the way a man, not follow what man is doing, but follow me. So how do you behold him? You behold him in the word of God. You behold him and let him arise through the word into your heart. I want you to learn this as you behold your God. There is a natural way of walking, and there is a spiritual way. And too often we walk in the natural and try to fulfill spiritual things. All that we do must be spiritual. And so when you receive the Holy Ghost, and you do have the Holy Ghost will tell you what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, and he will call you to follow what the Spirit is saying. But the Word and the Spirit come together. So we hear him say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And after he says that, we also see him then giving us how to live. Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, I believe that the Lord is giving us this book of the Bible was written many years ago. It's the ancient text. But even today, I believe the Lord is giving us to behold Christ in this word and let God arise in our heart to follow him. So as we walk through from chapter 5 all the way through to chapter 7, and we're ending it, they call it the Beatitudes. If you haven't heard that before, I'm sure almost all of you heard it. And you just clock that word and think you understand what the Beatitudes are. And you think that you've read it so many times that you don't have to behold your God in it. Your God is Jesus Christ. And so he walks on the scene, and he began to tell us how to live. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We walk on through and he tells us when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. When you bring your gift to the altar, and there remembers that the brother has aught against you, leave there thy gift, and go and make it right with your brother, and then come back and bring your gift too. And so behold your God. And if you behold this, and you behold it, you not only behold it by looking at it. The Bible says in James, he who looketh in the word of God is like a mirror. And if you go away not knowing yourself, because you see in the mirror of the word what to do. And so if you just read it as information, as a knowledge, and don't take time to see what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you in this word, if he says to you, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, that can be a general word. But it could also be the word to your heart. Behold your God and let God arise in your heart, in your life. And when God arises, let your enemies be scattered. You know, and he arises in so many ways, but the word brings us the power to hold on to when he comes in and give us this special word just for us. The word itself anchors that word in us. If we read it in the spirit, that's why I always tell my people, I said, read the word, then go back and meditate on the word, and I tell them to think on it and think on the fact of that word, and then pray that word and ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? And when that happens, the word then goes deep in your spirit and open up a truth just for you, a truth that says you have to fulfill this because there's something short in your life, and this word is directly to you. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, what does that mean? And then he begins to lead you into things and places by the word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will begin to know this word is talking to you for today. It's like the headline for today. My first job, not my first, but one of my jobs, I worked at a biweekly, which means that the paper came out twice a week rather than every day. And so because it came out twice a week instead of every day, sometimes the stories were old. And because they were old, the major papers had done much more with the story than we could do as a biweekly. So it was interesting that we had to go in then and find out how to bring this story into the headlines today. How do we take this story that has been already smeared on other newspapers that daily, and here we are, we are biweekly, and how do we bring it forth and make it real? Well, it had to become real because that is still the main story. Regardless of whether it's 2 days old, it's still the main story. So what do we do to make it our main story? And I think that's what's true in Matthew. What was given to the Israelites in this day, and what was given to the Gentiles in this day in the New Testament, we still have to take those stories and make them our stories. We still have to take those truths and make them our truth. I believe until we do that, we're not living for God. We're living religiously, but not living according to what the Lord has done. And so let's hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying as we conclude our study of the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew. The chapter 6 was so very interesting. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He taught there how to give your offerings, you know, how to give all alms. And that's a very important thing because I think some people miss that. They will give their tithe and they'll give an offering, but they don't give alms. And the alms is what you're giving to the poor. That's your, as we do it in our local church, the firstborn through our, we call it a change jar. And I think we call it a change jar because we started it with bringing forth change. But then we started knowing that change was not enough. So we put money in the jar. And as he taught us in chapter 6, you really do not let the left hand know what your right hand is doing. And that means in that particular jar, when we give our alms, we have no envelopes. We don't want you to put your name on it. Anyone to know what you're doing. You're giving alms. And then he taught us then, in addition to giving of alms and how to give it, he taught us how to pray. He taught us what to pray. He's giving us then, although this story has been written many years ago, just like in our newspaper, this story might have been blasting across the headlines maybe a week or two, you know, because something is still going on with the story. We have to get in there, and we have to find a way to make that story relevant for us. The name of the paper that I was working for at that time was the Philadelphia Tribune, and we have to make this story so relevant that the readers of the Philadelphia Tribune would read this story as though it's just coming out. It's been all over the other papers. It's been on the news. But we have to read it and write it. And the thing about it, we have to be careful with it. We not only had to get the words right, we also had to make sure that it was placed in the correct place in the paper. We made sure that the headline was written just right. You see, there's a detail when something becomes yours. And that's why I say when we read the Bible, it becomes ours when we don't read it for information. I read it as though we're reading the paper, newspaper. We read a paragraph, a verse, a 3, a 4, a 5. Then we go back and let the Lord tell us what he's saying to us from that verse. And we do that by just thinking on it. And then it becomes yours. When he taught us how to pray, there was so much in that how to pray that you can literally do high-level intercession with just this. You can do priestly prayers with just this, but it has to become yours and not rote praying because you are just saying words. For example, you can say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But what are you saying? "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That's rote praying. When you say, "Our Father," you're calling on a father. who has adopted you and who has brought you from the foundation of the world. And if he's your father, then he is going to respond to you like a father. But he's the Father who is in heaven, and his name is so precious it's set aside. His name is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One. His name is El Roy, the God who sees. See, that name is special, because if it's the God who sees, that means the eyes of the Lord go through to and fro throughout the earth looking for those that are precious in his sight. As his name is El Elyon, the Most High God. His name is sacred. You see, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, all the names of God went up in the spiritual realm, came down in that one name. So when you call on Jesus, the name Jehovah Rapha identifies a God who is a healer. When you call on Jesus and you need deliverance, the name Jehovah Sabaoth shows up. The power of that name is in the name of Jesus, because Jehovah Sabaoth is the Lord of heaven. He's a God of the host of the heaven. All the hosts must bow to that name. He's the God of all the hosts must bow on earth to that name, and every devil must bow to that name. So when you call on Jesus, you see, all the names of God become active. And when you said, hallowed be thy name, and that's why we never use the name of the Lord in vain, name of God in vain. There are so many. His name is Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord, our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own, but we have the name of Jesus, who is righteous, because when he said to John, let us fulfill all righteousness, you see. And so that's why we are saying, please take this book of Matthew, make it yours. Make all of the things that Jesus taught yours. He taught so much. I am now settling at one place, because I go back, and he will do the same for you, to Matthew 7 that says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Because there are things that God wants you not just to pray and assume that he's going to do it. He wants you to knock on that door. He wants you first to ask and believe that he'll give you the answer, but you have to seek him, you see. You have to keep seeking him, because no flesh stands in his presence. And so once you seek his face and you get there, you have to keep knocking and opening the way for you to receive the answer. So I'm working something in my own life with that right now. So what are we saying? Jesus Christ has come. He's like boots on the ground. This is how he identified himself. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he's calling us to observe that he has come. Now, the last part of the Beatitudes we worked with last week, I think we got to the place where we did, and you know, there's also sub-headlines. And so the main headline tells us what this whole big story is about, but each one of the stories have parts to it. In some papers I work, we don't use subheadings in newspaper, but we do it in other writing, so that when it changes the focus of what you're trying to say to a person, then you write a less dominant headline in that same story. And I think that's the way the Bible was put together. For example, after he talked to us about asking and that if he would give, then he jumped to enter you in at the straight gate. You see, there's a whole other aspect, but every aspect is based on the other. You see, none of the things that you could enter into will become yours unless you start with everything that was said and enter into it. If you do not follow him so that you can become fishers of men, the rest of the stories become information to you. If you do not make a decision that you're going to follow Jesus, and then you begin to look to see what he's doing, there's a part in there that's so key that I don't want to miss. When he came in the scene and he began to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases, all manner of torments, which was saying that if this is who Jesus is, this one, this headline that's on, behold your God, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And I missed something. Don't forget to look at the fact that right after that, we open up and welcome you in, we let Dean Mitchum sing, "There's a New Church Arising." You see, it's not for us, these individuals who got this special need and want the Lord to fulfill it, but it's for the church. And then I say, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and then listen to what he's saying to you. And Dean sings, "There's a new church arising. It's arising in you and it's arising in me. God is bringing forth a brand new breed who will walk and talk like Abraham's seed." He talks about the song goes on. So they say he's rising in the pulpit. He's rising in the seat. The building can't contain us, so he's taking it to the streets. So the headline is saying, give attention. Listen, this is where God is bringing us today. It is not ancient text for someone who, for the Israelites. It is for today because, first of all, let God arise. We welcome you to the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. It's a universal church. I asked the Lord, why did you give me the name Universal? Because, you know, I would like to say worldwide. He said, no, I'm the God of the universe. This is my church. It's in heaven. It's written in my heart. So I want you to tell the people that I want the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And if they do anything, they're in my church, which is a universal church, because I'm head of the church, you see. Not only am I head of the church, I'm the judge of the church. And then Jesus then becomes the mediator of the new covenant, but it's for the church. So we're stopping here to say that the Beatitudes are so important. Everything from Matthew 1 to Matthew 7, very, very important. Make it yours. And I want to finish 7 tonight because we left off with beware of the prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, verse 15 of chapter 7. You shall know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And I'll tell you, you really have to pray through that one so that you can really be prepared for the false prophets that come your way. And you see, the thing about the false prophets, they don't come blatantly giving you a prophetic word and giving you something that does not sound like it is truth or does not sound like it's in the Bible. And as I said on last time, it may very well be a truth, but it's not a truth that they can give you because of the fact that it takes one who can hear from the Spirit of the Lord what is for you, and they're in position with you to give you that word. And I probably didn't say that very well at all, but what happens is the Lord wants us to be aware of those who come to us. And I can give you a case in point. I think I mentioned it the other night. In my young days in the ministry, I've had so many people to come and give me the word as to what they believe I was supposed to be doing. And of course, there were times I really felt they must know better than I, because they are prophets, they have been in the church longer, and I've had them to come to say, oh, the Lord has sent me here that I'm your prophet and I'm supposed to tell you this. And I had one very close to me that I really believed it, and as a result of that, I did a lot of things in the ministry that this prophetic word came to me to do. And how I found out is that as soon as I would do what the prophetic word was supposed to be, the person would say, I didn't mean it that way, let's do it again. So the Lord wants us to be so aware that if we can get in and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying first to his church, then what he's saying to us, we need to care too. I don't think we care enough anymore about God's word being the word to us. I think we care more about what we do to put as show and tell. But sometimes God's word is so deeply embedded in what God wants us to do, and we don't want to do it that way. We don't want to do it because it takes us out of our natural way of doing things that we might kind of be doing that which we would like to do, and that is not following him. So to follow him, let's make this word, the Beatitudes, Matthew, the entire book of Matthew. We're going to go to 8, but let me finish chapter 7, because it's one of the best parts of it. It says, starting with verse 21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have not put out devils, cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And when the Lord, when I read that, and I've always thought on that, how could one cast out devils, and how could one do all these things in his name and look so much like it was for God? And how do I distinguish them? Because I'm just a novice. I'm trying to make sure that I do everything God tells me to do. And, of course, I think I read from my book last night, In the Depths with Jesus, and where he says, I'm opening the gate to life, counts the cost. And the first prophetic word that he gave, and it's a book of prophetic words from heaven that God gave to me in my early Christian days and taught me how to walk according to the prophetic word from heaven and how to stay in position with him so that he could speak that word from heaven. And I'm coming back to the Lord now, and I'm saying I have to walk that way, because when you get this type of prophetic word from heaven, it keeps you from following every wind and doctrine, and it also keeps you from following what people think that you ought to be doing. But the first one of the words is enter in the straight and narrow gate, and he says the crowds don't know me because they prefer the easy way, the things of this world. You know my ways not always easy to follow, because it is not wide. You must enter in by a narrow and a straight gate to live this life hidden in Christ. You stand at the door and knock. I'm about to open the door. Count the cost now, because it is a life not of this world, but a life of joy, peace, and happiness, which will extract a price from you. The price is complete obedience to Christ and his work. It will cause you to lose friends and sometimes loved ones, but you will have the love of the one who counts, your Lord and Savior. And I think with that word, there are so many of us, especially those that have been in the ministry for a while, and you have established some things. I think we need to stop now. I am, and going back there and making that decision, Lord, I am now ready to make sure that I follow you. I choose to enter into the straight gate. I know that the way is narrow, and the gate is straight, but I count the cost, because I know this life is not a life of the world. Not only just not a life of the world, I'm talking about a life of the Christian world sometimes, because not a life of the Christian world, not a life of the church worldly ways. And I didn't say the church world. I'm talking about the church following worldly ways, and I'm not judging that. Here's what I'm saying. If you follow Jesus and you do what he's doing, you will not get caught up in everything that's going on someplace else that might be good, but it may not be for you. I think that's what I'm saying. And so in this passage, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And you see, the will of God for my life is not the same as the will of God for your life, but there is a will of God that would be the same for all of us. I don't even think we can follow unless we have made the decision, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And then he goes on to say, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You know? And so will that be, is that the newspaper for today? Is that a story for today that many will hear God say, depart from me because I never knew you. Sometimes I wonder because we have to be so very careful. I see something happening in the church that within the ranks of the church, there is so many things happening to destroy God's love, to destroy God's people, to destroy God's work in the name of Christianity, that is, I'm a Christian, I'm here, I know God told me to do this, I know this is right, but I have no problem in talking about another saint, gossiping, tattling, being jealous of, saying nasty things, doing things to cut them off at the path. I know that God wants us to follow him. He would never do some of the things that's being done by others in the name of Jesus. And so that's why when he said, I never knew you, and it scares me, when I say it scares me in a good way, it scares me because I want to be the one that he will say, come unto me now because you have fulfilled your call, that you have finished the course, and now you can come on home. And so I don't want him to say, I never knew you. You know, I don't want him to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so I believe the Lord, as he gives us this word, it goes back to enter ye in a straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And because he's calling us into a place where we will not be those that work iniquity, and we come to the end, and he says, I never knew you. I've done all these wonderful things for you, Lord. Look at how many devils I cast out. Look at how much ministry I've done. Look at how I've labored with the people. Look at how I gave all my money for the ministry, and I gave my offerings, and look at all this. And you're telling me to depart? I never knew you? I believe that's why the book of Matthew is the headline for the church today. I believe that's why I always say, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to and for the church, and listen to what he's saying to you. Because we do so many things in the old natural way, being angry with people, cutting people into shrivers, you know, in our mouth, being verbally abusive without realizing it, lying, telling lies, being afraid to tell the truth because we know that what we're doing is wrong, being jealous of people when they have said something you think that you should have. And so, therefore, the Lord then would say, you don't want to be one that he say, depart from me. And so that's why this is a narrow way that the Lord has called us to, and I think he's calling the church to this narrow way. Then he goes on to read, and I like this, and the rain, he said, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descendeth, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the heat upon the, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as a scribe. And I think that is the most powerful ending for the Beatitudes. And I think it's truth. It is a truth that we cannot ignore. It's not a truth to learn. It's a truth to enter in. First, this little short vignette in there that says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I remember I've said this a few times when we were building the Sanctuary of the Firstborn, and at that time we had people coming from far and near, and we had those that would always come, and they give the testimony that I give honor to the Spirit of the Lord who's head of my life, and it's a good testimony. And so the Lord spoke to me when I was working through Adonai, and he said, would you tell my people to stop lying when they stand up in the church and say, I give honor to the Spirit of the Lord who's head of my life. He said, unless I'm head of their lives, I am God, and I'm supposed to be head of their lives. And you see, the room Adonai brings us to make him Lord and Master. And that's when I was writing that. He said, make sure they know that if they say that I am head of their lives, that I am the Lord and I am their master. I wrote a few chapters on that. And that's when I began to understand that saying he's head of my life and walking under the headship of Jesus Christ, not just for a few things, but every day, was much more important to be truthful about that. And so here we are at the end of the Beatitudes. The Lord tells us what to do with it. He said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. He didn't say just hear them and do them. And saints, I know that you know this as well as I, but I know it for a fact. I cannot do the word of God just by reading through it and getting an understanding generally in my mind. I must get the spirit of that word into my heart. I must roll that word around in my heart and in my mind until the Lord opens it up to me. That's why we take a chapter, we read a few verses, we pray those verses, we go back and thank God for the verses sometime, and we ask him to open them up for us. We ask him sometime, what are you saying to me? We ask him, what do you want me to do? So you say, we don't have time for that. Well, with our cell phones and our iPads, and I got it all, we just might just kind of read it quickly. But you see, the Lord, sometimes he will bring it to you. And then sometimes after you've been with it for a long time, precept upon precept, he'll go back and bring you into something that you almost miss, you know. But God is the word of the Lord, the headline for today. Is behold your God. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. That's the lead story for this time. The lead story is hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and that's a blurb under the main heading. See, we call that little secondary heading with the large type, but not quite as large as the big one, we call it a blurb. And so the blurb under it then would be, as we talk about it, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, then listen to what he's saying to you. So we are reading and writing and sharing the headline for the church today, and we are reading and writing and hearing. And you see, when I said listen to what he's saying to you, you want to listen very carefully so that you will know what he's saying. And I listen, and I want you to learn to listen by meditating on that word and praying that word and asking him to make that word your word. So you say, I don't have time. You know, you don't have to do that with a whole chapter. You might find just to a few verses a day and meditate on those verses and think on those verses and ask Lord to open up the verses to you, and you will not miss anything. You may go 6 weeks without it becoming more than just somewhat of something that you know you must do, but then all of a sudden the Lord will open it up and will be so powerful. You behold your God as you've gone along. You have behold your God. Now he will slowly begin to rise in your heart. And he will open up what he needs you to know for right now and what he needs for you to do for right now. That's his, he will arise in your heart. And when he arises, the enemies will be scattered. The lying spirit and the demonic spirit that's been plaguing you. You know, there's something, I don't know if this, anyone can relate to this, but something has been plaguing the body of Christ. And it literally is almost like it's in the atmosphere. And then I thought it's almost like it hovers over where we are with God now. And it hovers over where what we have been teaching, not only on this program, but in all of our books and our schools and our ministry. And I'm not sure it's just us. It's maybe other places, but it's a spirit that makes people think that they're going into depression or will bring them into depression or will make them feel inadequate, make them feel that they can't do anything right, make them feel what's the use. And it's hitting not just everybody, well, a few people. It's hitting so many people. As a matter of fact, I started thinking on that this morning as I was walking through my own house, and I was thinking on it, and literally not only thinking on it, because of so many things happening and so many attacks against my character, against who I am, against what I say. People will say I say one thing, and I said I couldn't have said that. It's not even in my vocabulary. It's not even in the way that I think. It's not even in the way that I talk. But the words that they say that I said that have caused a rift in our relationship, it's just ridiculous. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about sometimes I think, how can I correct it? How can I help them to know that I didn't do that? I didn't say that. And so we're going through thinking with all these things, and then all of a sudden I realized that's how the enemy gets into our mind. He is hovering over us to try to make us think that we can't do something or make us think that we did it wrong. Yes, the saints do tell us that we did it wrong. Yes, we have many of them upset because we didn't do what they wanted us to do the way they wanted it done. And when that happens, it does bring your spirit to a place where if you dwell on it, you will start feeling depressed. And it seems like it's going around. It's almost like it's a spirit. And so we want to decree and declare tonight that we stand on redemption ground. And we declare war against the lying, deceiving spirit. And we are commanding that every lie be swallowed up in God's truth now in the name of Jesus. And we decree that everything covered will be uncovered and everything hidden will be revealed in the name of Jesus. You see what happens when the devil put these thoughts in our minds and thoughts in our head and it's going around, it's covered up because we can't even express it. We don't even know what's going on. We just don't feel good about ourselves. We just feel we're either too fat, too ugly, or either we feel that we can do nothing right. We feel that everything we've done, we should have done it differently. If we'd done it differently, this person would feel better about us, you know. Well, let's just decree tonight that that is not of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus says this. He said, behold, I have come that you have life and you have it more abundantly. And so we declare tonight that that lying, deceiving spirit that makes people think that they can't do this or make them think that they're less than they are, that makes them feel defeated, that makes them feel depressed, lying spirit of depression, we're declaring tonight that you will have no more room to operate in the lives and the hearts of God's people. And those that are going and walking it out with God, your lies will cease as of tonight. There will be no more lying, no more deceiving. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And he has come that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. And every hindrance and every bondage and every lie and every deception we are coming against with the blood of Jesus, and we are declaring war against you. We declare that the Holy Ghost is higher than you, and he is a God of truth, and he's a God of love, and the truth is Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Come on. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And he has finished the course on earth. He has paid the price that we tonight can say to that ruling spirit of gossip, that lying, deceiving spirit that lie on us, that lie to the other saints, that we haven't done what we ought to do, that we should do it this way, that we've done this, that. That will be no more, because Jesus comes on the scene and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as we say repent, and as he said repent, let God arise and let his enemy be scattered from his people that make them feel that they can't do anything right, that they're not good enough, that God doesn't love them, that nobody cares about them, that someone should have called to come to check on them, that people didn't do what they're supposed to do because they should have done it this way. That lie will have no more room in our ministry, in our hearts, in our lives, in our houses, in our home, husband and wives against each other, lying spirit telling the other one that that one doesn't love him. Listen, saints, we have to fight. I want you to rise up against the spirits of accusation. That's what the enemy is doing. He's accusing us that we're not good enough, that we're not doing it right, that we should have done this. And then those of you that agree with it, I want you to stop agreeing with it. I want you to stop agreeing with the devil and tell the devil, no, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want those of you that are subject to it, here's why you're subject to it when you're thinking that someone doesn't do it right. You're subject to it because you're thinking of what they should do according to your will and according to your way. Remember, Jesus is the one who leads one. You don't even know what Jesus is doing in that person's life, the reason that person may not be doing it the way you want it done. So you don't let the devil use you to be angry and judging another one because they're doing it wrong. Even if they're doing it wrong, tell the Lord to forgive them. Tell the Lord that you are not the one to judge that. He is, and he can bless that. We have to come in agreement with the Holy Spirit. We have to stop agreeing with the devil that when people do us wrong, it is something wrong with them. We're agreeing with the devil that is something wrong. We need to let Jesus decide what he wants to do with it. We need to stop thinking that everyone has to remember us at all times and do everything to bless us because they're supposed to. And they're supposed to take care of you. And they're supposed to be there for you. And all these things got to go to the cross in our hearts, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. So if he is your way and you're following him, then go back and look in the Beatitudes and see what he said. He talks about if your enemies come and ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. He talks about when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive, that the Father in heaven will forgive you. So our minds get caught up in our own desires and our own thinking and our own ways, and we get in depression because we're so concerned about what someone didn't do or did do, or we're concerned about what they're thinking about what we did. And so we're dealing with self in that. But let's lay our lives on the altar. Let's lay our lives before the Lord. Let's say to the Lord, here I am, just as I am. I come just as I am. And whatever happens to us by others, whatever people do to us, if we do it wrong, the Lord will correct us, ask him to correct us, help us to fix it. But let us delay our lives on the altar of the Lord. And if someone doesn't treat us right or do what they're supposed to do for us to make us feel wanted, to make us feel loved, to make us feel accepted, let's throw that demon off of us, that demon of self. That demon wants people to love us. That demon wants people to exalt us. Let's ask the Lord. The Bible says, draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. And then he will exalt you in due time. And if he never exalts you, I made this decision. If he would let me come to the cross and bind myself to his cross, I will live at the foot of the cross and let the cross cut into my life and cut out everything that will hinder me from serving him without fear in holiness all the days of my life. Well, I got a little carried away with that. I guess I got carried away because I found my own life being controlled by outside forces, thinking that I should have done it right and I didn't do it right from so many different angles. And I questioned the Lord. I questioned myself, how could I have, Lord? Did I do it? Did I do good instead of my best? Should I have done it differently? And I began to stop and I said, you know what? I can't go back and undo that if I did it wrong. And, Lord, if I did do it wrong, would you please forgive me? And don't let me do it wrong again. Remind me when I didn't do all that I should have done in a person's life and for that person. But, Lord, I can't deal with that because I think that's from the enemy. I think the enemy is trying to make me feel that I'm not good enough. And I don't think it's a spirit that visits Christians when they're going with God and they're trying to get into a different place with God and they're going deeper and they're going to go to another realm of prayer. The enemy comes in and he wants to press their spirits down. And when your spirit is pressed down, the Holy Ghost then is an operative to let you know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. And unless you follow him, you'll never go to the Father. Well, didn't mean to go get excited about it, but I am excited about Matthew. He gave us how to live. Now I think, you know, we do this with our prophetic ministry. We give a word, and my bishop, Bill Hammond, always tells us when you teach a word, you always you begin to activate the word. And so what we do is once it's given to the people, then we bring some activation so they can activate the word. And so Jesus begins to activate the word in chapter 8. Matthew, I'm just so excited about this. I can't wait to get to 8 because we see him doing so many things in the next few chapters. I don't know how long it's going to take us to walk through them, but I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church in Matthew chapter 1 through 7. And then listen very carefully to what he said to you. Some of you may go back and read those verses, read a paragraph, read a verse, and you may find yourself, Lord, taking you to certain portions and having you read it again if you've done it, and activating you in it. But God is a good God, and I love him. I want you to love him, and let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. And as you come to the end and obeying all, he will speak peace to his people. And then Dean will say, there's a new church arising now in the earth. Are you part of that church? Then I'll say, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. Then listen to what he's saying to you. Father, we bless the people tonight. We bless them as we push that lying spirit out of the atmosphere, following our people, making them feel inadequate, hovering around us, telling us that we should have done this when we didn't do it. And usually it's something that has so long passed that we couldn't even go back and do it if we did. And we get bogged down and feeling depressed because we didn't do it and wished we had done it. Lord, let God arise in our lives and in our hearts, and let the enemies be scattered. Let that enemy go back where he came from, because you are not judging, condemning us for what we didn't do when we should have done it. If we repent, you said repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we bless the people with a spirit tonight of truth, that truth will reign, and that Jesus Christ will be their truth, and the word of God will be like a light unto their pathway and a lamp to their feet. And once we do that, this deceiving spirit going through the earth, lying to the people about what they're not, will be stopped. And I want all of you that are praying people, pray for that spirit to be destroyed in the minds and hearts of the people, because I see it cropping up in so many different places. I want all of you to know that God is calling us to pray for him to arise and for the enemies to be scattered around us. But fight that spirit it by the power of the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, that this ruling spirit, he's a lying spirit, he's a deceiving spirit, he is a spirit of torment, that spirit would be annihilated, that Jesus Christ would arise in the hearts of the people, and that enemy would be scattered from them, that feeling of rejection, that feeling of depression. We just curse that spirit of depression in the name of Jesus, and oppression in the name of Jesus. And we're declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the head of the church, and we are in the church, and there will be no such spirit in there. So I'm running a little later tonight, but we will be back with you on Wednesday evening of this week, 7 o'clock, Central Standard Time. We've finished the Beatitudes in Matthew, verse 1 through 7. Now we go into chapter 8, and we're going to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is going to say to us in chapter 8, and we're going to then listen very carefully what he wants us to do with what he's saying to the church and for the church. And so for that reason, I say good night tonight, and we bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, and our King, who's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you can have all sufficiency for all things and every good work. Good night.